And we celebrate you this evening. We celebrate you because of your goodness and your kindness. We thank you because of the heightened sensitivity that you are making available in our spirits, so that we'll know when to stand, when to walk away, and when to run. Thank you, great one, in Jesus' mighty name. Turn your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 33. And I want to bring something out quickly. It's been 32 days already. It's just like 2 weeks. Hallelujah. If you feel led to continue the prayer regimen, even after the fasting, yeah, the Lord's grace be upon you in Jesus' name. And again, the word of the Lord, Ezekiel chapter 33. And again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, and if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Now, if you follow the reading, you find out that part of the duty of a watchman is to provide strategic warnings. So I want to spend a few days in the lecture to talk about the warning ministry of the watchman, the warning ministry of the watchman. Spend a few days to talk about it. It's quite technical, and so we need to be adequately educated about the warning ministry of the watchman. So if we see the layout of the scripture of interest, even Ezekiel chapter 33, where I just read, you will see what results in warning. Warning is a product, is an offshoot of spiritual visibility. When God gives you positional advantage and you have an insight through the Holy Spirit of the things that God intends to do within the scope of your jurisdiction, that's when you have the warning ministry. The warning ministry is not a function of suspicion. I've found so many people send me text messages and they say, yes, beware of this, beware of this. I say, my God, hallelujah. Just because Philip B. People don't know how busy he is, and he needs to manage a lot of things. There is no way he can be too good at what he does because of the volume of work. And then somebody transmits a message that I should watch. That's not warning. Now, see what provoked the warning ministry that God was giving to the watchman of the territory. The watchman of the territory will have to see the sword of judgment first. Now, you need a lot of wisdom in communicating a warning, a prophetic warning to a people, to a person, to a community, to a land. It's a very delicate aspect of ministry, seeing that human beings have their own wisdom. For instance, if you come into the community of politicians and say, woe unto you, then they're not likely to take you seriously. So, in order for you to have accomplished the message of a warning, there are several things you need to put into place. First of all, like I said, a prophetic warning comes out of spiritual visibility. You must have seen a certain danger that is about to come. And that is what occasions spiritual warnings. It's not because you suspect, you hate somebody. The person did you evil. So you are now warning people about the person. It must be spiritually induced. Hallelujah. I went to Brazil, and I have a friend in Brazil called Pastor Maxwell. He's the lion of the city of Sao Paulo. And we were praying, because when I go there, we pray a lot, we move around, we do a lot of spiritual work, and it's always wonderful. Fortunately, because of engagements for the past 2 years, I've not been able to make the trip. We were in one of those sessions when Maxwell, he showed me one of my pastor, who is obviously not here now. I said, this boy will cause you trouble. And I was in the spirit when the Lord showed me this boy. And as at the time Maxwell was showing me that boy, the boy was seemingly troubleless. Maxwell spoke about this 2 years before the young man became troublesome. And from that time till now, the young man's life has not remained the same. But we knew 2 years before the time. And you need to a certain level of maturity to be able to handle a warning. Now, the way I conducted myself during the affairs of the eventual trouble that erupted, which was 2 years after the prophetic message came, it would look as though I didn't have any inclination. Are you with me? That there was prior intelligence suggestive of the fact that a certain season of trouble was going to come through the excesses of that young man. I think I need to teach you the warning ministry and also how to handle a spiritual warning. Because spiritual warning is based on spiritual evidence, not natural evidence. If by any means you change the way you are behaving towards the person because you got some spiritual warning. Well, let's go into the lecture. I pray God will make us mature enough to be able to handle warning. How many of you still remember Benson Idahosa? Benson Idahosa spoke and he warned Assemblies of God Church that he saw a certain demonic activity that was going to happen, and Assemblies of God was going to have two general overseers. It came to pass how many years after the departing of Benson Idahosa? It came to pass. But he warned about it and pointed to the things that needed to be done at that time to avoid that thunderbolt from striking the ministry. But nothing was done. So it means that when the thing eventually came to pass, the casualties of that season of departure were needless because warning had gone ahead of them. Have you ever seen a ministry that had two general overseers? It happened in Nigeria. But there was extensive warning that came that would have led to the avoidance of that occurrence, but it was never attended to. You must understand that the fact that you bring a warning to me doesn't mean I will not check it. There are several things you need to do to check a warning so that it will not be initiated by a man's flesh. But I want to submit to you today that there is something called prophetic warning, which is a legitimate ministry that is an accompaniment of the assignment of a watchman. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. I'm just trying to see what I can say and what I should not say from the pulpit. I've had so many experiences along this line, and I'm trying to filter what to tell you. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll do a reading quickly. Hebrews 11. You know the texture of Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is defined. And the evidence of a man that walks in faith is also defined. It said, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. That means if I walk by faith, are you with me? my life will produce results, will produce manifestations that my generation will acknowledge that indeed this man knows God. There will be evidences that my life will produce that will make my generation confirm the fact that indeed he knows God. That kind of manifestation is an accumulation of a consistent walk with God, which is based on faith. And this consistent walk with God, which is based on faith, cannot be less than 10 years of consistently walking with God to be able to produce that stature of manifestation that your generation will acknowledge that indeed you are walking with God. Are you with me? 10 years, nothing less than that. And these 10 years, I got it from two significant church leaders. One of them is Archbishop Benson Dahosa. He told us about 10 years that if you can model the life of faith, you are entrenched in your convictions for 10 years and you are making deliberate effort on a daily basis to navigate towards the direction that God has pointed out to you. In 10 years' time, your life will produce a result that your generation will reckon that indeed it was God you were working with. He said that, and watch my knee, my man, he also said that. So I don't have scripture for that. I just have the testimonies of respected leaders that I follow as the basis of my conviction on that matter. And in my own small life, you know, my life is not too big. It's very small, very modest, very humble. You know my story. Any need for me to tell you, you know my story. Well, in order for us to begin to do the big things that we have started doing, it took us 12 years of working consistently with God over and against obvious contradictions. And those of you that know our humble background, you know the things we had to face. We had to be mad people to believe the things that God has told us in the face of the circumstances that we had to face. In the last conference that we had in the month of November, our pastors in Ghana made their way to the tent. And they seemed to recognize the tent because they've been watching it from Ghana and they felt that place was a big place. And when they went there, they see Jesus, this is where this man has been preaching all these things. So they laid on the altar, expecting an impartation. Because it's not reasonable for you to believe that anything good could come out of that place. If that is the place, then something more than a drug, God injected us with something more than COVID vaccine that made us believe that. it took before we started doing the big things, it took 12 to 14 years. So I can concur with the statement of the elders that it will take about 10 years. Do you know the opposition we faced in that place? I know some of you know, most of you know. You need to be crazy, drunk with the Holy Ghost for you to believe. Most of you give up too quickly, and that's why your life doesn't produce a good report. So we have brought you to a clinic where we inject people so that you can be crazy for the Holy Ghost, crazy enough to believe the things that God is putting before your face. And when God really wants to get you convinced, he knows how to visit you in your dream. When you are powerless in your dream, he will show you the pictures one after the other. Because if he were to come in the natural to show you, we argue, so he knocks you off. Just like he knocked Adam off before he did the surgery that produced Eve. If the guy was awake, he would have contended. So he knows how to do it. You remember Zechariah? The angel was telling him about several things that God had determined to do. And the guy was asking too many questions. It was obvious that Zechariah was going to use his mouth to contend with what God wanted to do. So just be dumb for now. So many times God will put you to sleep so that you will not have any ability to interfere with the things he wants to show you. And he will keep showing you until what he's showing you distills into your soul. And there is nothing, no contradiction in the natural will be strong enough to contend with that which has found place in your inner man. God had to inject us again and again. It took like 10 years. I was asking some of our brothers that came from the United States, you know what it means to travel from the United States to come to my country? We don't have an airport. Are you aware of this? Somebody drops in Lagos, because if you are using Delta Airlines, you are going to fly from Atlanta to Lagos. That's how many hours? 10 hours from Atlanta to Lagos. Then you, have you ever been cleared into Nigeria from the Lagos airport? You don't know the experience. Then you finish with that, you take a hotel, sleep overnight, take a flight to Abuja, and then begin a 4-5 hour journey to come to Benue State. You need to be injected to be able to do that. So I got all the guys from America into my office. I said, okay, why are you here? What happened? And each of them began to tell their stories. And, you know, I was doing an analysis from all the stories that were coming, all the feedbacks that were coming. And guys from Canada, do you know? I know you can't imagine what I'm talking about. You are not as much a traveler as I am, so you don't know what it takes to go to Canada, what it takes to travel from Canada to come to this place. So I called them. I said, hey, what happened? Testimony after. Do you know that there are things that God is doing that we don't know? For instance, what day was that? That we did something like healing and somebody, we got a testimony that somebody 14 years started hearing. Do you know, I got the real story because the mother of the lady now chatted me up on our Facebook Messenger platform. That lady had never heard since she was born. And it was the excuse of a service like this that God used as the reason for opening the ears. The doctors, not the doctors of Demekwe, the doctors of London. May the Lord give you understanding. I'm not by any means belittling our doctors, but I'm just trying to tell you it's not in Demekwe. My father-in-law had a situation with his eyes for which he had to, when he went to Lagos to the best opticians in Nigeria, they said the, what do they call that thing, cataract, was not ripe. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Okay, there's no doctor in the room today who would have attempted to find out what they mean by the cataract is not ripe. The best ophthalmologist of Nigeria said the cataract was not ripe, that it would take about 7 years for it to be ripe. But my father-in-law was already going blind. So he has to wait for another 7 years. That's how we moved him to London. When he got to London, the London doctors didn't say the thing was not ripe. They used laser to operate my father-in-law. In operating him, they found out that the lenses of his eyes were bad. And they used an artificial lens and asked him, which kind of sight do you want the most? Do you want to see long or you want to see short? Because the lens we have is artificial, so it doesn't have the adjustability capacity. So it can only see either long or short. So which one do you want? So he wants long because his glasses can make him see his books. So they, so that's what I mean by the doctors in London. And the guy came, no blood was spilled from his eyes. So imagine someone traveling from there to come to Benue State. You need to interview him and say, what brought you here? Then I started hearing stories. Strange stories. And you know what? I knew that there was nothing I did to make those stories happen. There was everything that God did. But you see, a time comes when God is willing to broadcast the effect of your faith. That's the good report that we're talking about. By faith, the Bible says that the elders, they did what? Obtain. It's not as if Satan became sick or Satan went on sabbatical. Satan was very present, but the elders, they obtained. You will obtain a good report. I know maybe nobody in your family had a wedding ceremony where the bride price was paid. Young men normally come and steal women from your family. It's after 14 years that they have given birth to like 7 children that they will now be saying that the oracle is speaking. Bride price. Maybe that's what it has been. you will obtain a good report in the name of Jesus Christ. So now you know the overview of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Meanwhile, I consider it so humbling. Every day I wake up, I consider it so humbling to be chosen by God to be his messenger. If it were an election, most of you will win. I know I won't win. So it's so humbling, so humbling. And it's a privilege that I don't want to fail God in. So if you have spare time to pray, pray for me, okay? All right, so verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Because this is not my emphasis. It's not a faith weekend, so I may skip that. By faith, these are examples of faith now. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. It provoked God to speak. And then, just in case you are not aware, by the testimony of God, even though he was dead, his sacrifice was still speaking. So the example of the faith of Abel was sacrificial giving, unnatural sacrificial kind of giving. Yeah? Go on. By faith. Meanwhile, I didn't add in my report of the clients I got from the U.S. to the office. Do you know that in all the stories they told, no one spoke about the distance between Abuja and Makurdi, the distance between Atlanta and Lagos? They all forgot the peril of the trip because of a good report. Something stronger than what it took to get here propelled their coming. So when I was in Lagos, I saw one of the guys that came, one of the delegates that came. He went for a test to travel. He went from here, he went to Ibadan, went to a few places, and he went to test, do a COVID test to travel back, and he came down positive. So I gave him insight into what and what he needs to do quickly in order for that outcome to change. And then he did it, and it actually changed. And he told me that I shouldn't think that because he had this positive that he will not come here again. That guy came from one strange place in Canada. I should not. So you can't really understand what God did. But if you stand in faith, your life is going to produce a good report. A good report that will be so public that your entire village will be compelled to submit to God's results concerning your life. It will be so robust that even people that don't like you, because you know now, as you begin to make some positive inroads into destiny, whether you know it or not, the tidal wave of envy is likely to visit you. All right? And that's why the Bible says he increases people greatly and he made them stronger than their enemies. So I want to say that God will increase you this year. Amen. And that's not all. He will make you stronger than all your enemies. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, but for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So the evidence of faith in the life of Noah was his commitment to please God. That's how we know God called you. When we see that the sum total of everything that you are doing with a mind to please God. Your audience is God. It's not the people that you are preaching to. God. What's the testimony of his life? That he what? Please God. There's one big money I would have gotten one time. Very big. And you know... I'm not a poor man. I've not been poor. So if I say big money, you will need help to know what I mean by big money. But you see, the Lord inside was not pleased by that money. So I had to reject that money. It's only... are you with me? May you have grace to reject money. Money that will not please God. You will need to present or to put God as your first audience before your face for you to be able to obey in that wise, to reject things that every natural person will dive for, and your disposition towards that thing is not what they will expect from the natural person. It is because your intention is to please God. I want to preach in one nation, and God was gracious, so gracious to me, that 5 or 6 people, crippled people, walked in on the last day of the meeting. And some politicians were there of that country. They were there, and they said, wow, whenever people that have such ability come to their country, they normally take the person to the president. If you have been able to help crippled people, and we are witnesses that these people were crippled, and when you minister to them, they could walk, you have earned yourself an opportunity to meet our president. Hallelujah. I turned to the politicians. I said, I'm a simple preacher, a simple missionary, but I know Jesus well. And when I was talking to him before making this trip to this country, he never said I'll be seeing the president. So I don't want to add to the schedule that Jesus has given me. The politicians, they were offended. But you see, you must be determined to please what? God. So the evidence of the faith of Enoch, the result of his faith was translation, but the evidence of his faith was a brutal determination to please God. If your life is designed to please God, you are going to offend so many people. Your choices are going, just like the politicians were offended because they didn't believe that a man that was in his right senses will turn down an opportunity to meet with the president. Because if you make it as much as seeing the president, at least if he's such a stingy president, you have at least $10,000. And if you meet a generous one, hallelujah, we have gone beyond where we look for people. We have gone beyond that in our journey to please God. And the most glorious moments of my walk with God was when I was not popular, when I was not known. Now I'm known everywhere I go. All the trips, it's an embarrassment. But those moments when I was not known, when you know you were not doing it because you were not trying to behave yourself because you have become popular, because nobody knows you, you can sneak around and all of that. Even in those quiet, dark moments, my head was tall because my first audience was Jesus Christ. And every one of us here, I want to admonish you, it's very easy for you to compromise. But all your compromise is going to go on record in the realm of the Spirit. And when God is looking for a man that he can trust with nations, because the prayer of sons is for nations. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask me, and I'll give you nations. That is the inheritance of sons. He releases sons to manage his estate in the earth. There's an anointing God can put upon your life. Uganda must need you. Kenya must need you. Other people will study about Kenya in geography. You will know Kenya because the nation has need of something that God has deposited on your life. I don't know this theoretically. I know it experientially. Hallelujah. When I got to England, I came out of Heathrow Airport and I stood outside. I was confused. You know why I was confused? There were 3 sets of people there to pick me, and it's only 1 set that I know. So, may Lord give you understanding. May you not be confused when you go to the, oh my, I didn't know that our small cave, you see, God is a great God. And God can decide that, okay, humanity, listen to this man. And humanity has no choice. Just like the kind of thing that happened on the Mount of Transfiguration, where the Father came and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. I think God in heaven made such a proclamation that could make a cave dweller like myself a visible entity in the eyes of so many people across the nations of the world. And in my understanding, that's not breakthrough, it's just more kingdom responsibility. Hallelujah. There was confusion at the airport. And I told Dennis, do you know Dennis, our pastor in Scotland? So I just, you know these guys? He doesn't know them. So who sent them? Okay. We could not answer that question. So we escaped from that place. Hallelujah. Now, so the effect of Enoch's faith was his translation, but the proof of his faith was that he did everything to please God as his ultimate audience. May the Lord lift your eyes from men, and may he be your gaze. May your efforts be put together to please him perpetually, and he will translate you, and you will not be found where men think you should be. He will put you where he wants you to be at every point in time, in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, go on. This is now the policy. But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God is the policy. Because the life of Enoch was exemplified, the life and times of a man that was lived with the objective of pleasing God, then he now teaches us a little about pleasing God. He said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, you decide not to go to Ogugu. You decide not to go to Swem. Decide not to go to, what's the other one in your village? Bro, what is the God in your village? Akpan. Agbara. So you decide not to go to Agbara. And now you want to come to God. The first thing you must know if you are coming to God, it's a general rule for everyone that veers out of the pathway of darkness into light. It's a he that cometh unto God must believe. Now, when we do faith adventure this year, we'll come back to this scripture. Must believe. It's an inevitable requirement. He must believe that God is ever present, ever existent. I will explain that subsequently. And also that God is a rewarder of them, that there's profit. There's profit in engaging God. There is a reward. If your motivation in engaging God is to extract a reward from him, you are right. Such a provision has been made already before your arrival. And it's one of the things you need to have in mind, that the sons of Jacob have not been called to serve this God in vain. There's going to be evidence that you present to your generation and to the devil, that this is what my life resulted because I am stuck in the service of God. We'll do this more in the Faith Adventure week. We'll start from a Monday and end on a Sunday. Hallelujah. Faith Adventure. We'll have time for practical. Saturday morning, we'll go and look for sick people to practice our faith on. If you believe, I'll show you scriptures, evidences. This is the mind of God. This is the mind of God. This is what the devil does. This devil's work, mind of God. So we are going to the bridge between translating men from the devil's work into the exact manifestation of what? The mind of God. So we'll do the faith adventure somewhere. Look for time to put it in. Now, verse 6 is Seven is my emphasis, so just jump to seven. He said, by faith, Enoch, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. You know, I told you that the evidence of Enoch's faith was reverential fear. So the next time you teach faith and you say the opposite of faith is fear, be careful, because you are wrong. You need to define all the types of fear first, because one of the types of fear is a manifest. If you have that fear, it is because you have faith, that your faith is expressed in the currency of that fear. Some of us that are stuck with holy living, it is because of that fear. The moment you lose that fear, you will become a rascal. Oh my! The other day, the one guy was complaining how that the wife he married, when he married her, she was slim, and now the wife she's bulky, and he's beginning to lose his taste of the bulky apparatus because of. That is the doctrine of adultery. It's called the doctrine of adultery. May the Lord give you understanding. May the Lord help you quickly. Now, there's this bulkiness that he's beginning to notice right now that is beginning to conflict with his romantic expression. When you hear people talk like that, they have lost the fear that Noah had. If you have the fear that Noah had, you understand that your relationship with your wife is covenant. It doesn't change because physical things change. You know, most of us don't know covenant anymore. It's only when you swear a covenant to the devil do you remember it, because you know that the devil, if you violate, he will deal with you. That's how we were able to trace someone that has sworn to Satan. And we're trying to convince the person that you don't need to keep your agreement with Satan. We bring you Jesus. He will. So he looked at us. And you can imagine if the person is a politician. He looked at us and he saw that we're too simple to be the ones to say the truth. Because when he visits Ezemo, there are things they do. You are too simple. If this life-changing truth, if it is true, what you are telling me, you shouldn't be this simple. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, you know, it is very easy for you to be skidded off the path just because of the simplicity that is in the gospel. And maybe also the simplicity in those people that have modeled the way of Christ before you. You might look at them and say, no, I was expecting some sophistication. This simplicity makes it difficult for us to. It is only in the world. That sophistication you're talking about, it's maybe currency in the world. But if you have met Jesus, in fact, part of the proof that you have met him is that the system of life that he puts in place doesn't create allowance for boasting. There is no allowance for boasting whatsoever. The reason why we are who we are, why we are what we are, is because of the faithfulness of the God that we revere. So it's all about him and none about us. So the message we brought to him, he stuck on his integrity. It had nothing to do with the way whether we looked too simple to be carrying a powerful message like that. Meanwhile, Satan still knocked him again a few times before he now said, okay, that's your thing you brought. Can we try it? And he discovered Satan was not as strong as he thought Satan to be. Because the guys that speak for Satan, they threaten you if you. By faith. I'm trying to educate you on the warning ministry that comes from the Spirit. Before I tell you all of the practice and procedure principles in bringing an accurate prophetic warning to someone, I want to show you first of all that our God is a warning God. And that is what we have here in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7. By faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen at yet. So I like you to understand that the things that God was warning about, if God brings a warning, it means he is saying that there is an evil that can be averted. Every warning is an indication of the concern of God to avert pending doom. The spirit behind the warning is mercy. Mercy is available to avert pending doom. So you could see that the things that God was warning about were not yet present. You will only be able to accept this warning if you connect with God by faith. Do you understand it? Are you following me? It's only by faith you can know that this is true. Because there will be no evidence that is suggestive of the fact that the things for which the warnings have come are efficacious, are true, are verity. The proof that it is verity is that it's God that is bringing the warning. So every form of prophetic warning ministry is based on God's warning himself. So you don't warn anybody if God has not warned. And it's very easy for me to know if God is warning, because when I receive your message, I check with God. I don't know whether somebody attempted seeing me through Philip B, because I got a message today about you. Maybe somebody attempted seeing me through you and he didn't get much success. So he warned me that there it is. Hallelujah. So the reason why we warn is because God has warned. The Philip B, the person is warning, I've seen his future. I know where he's going. Hallelujah. Well, I will show you five ways to judge prophetic words. Because we are sons of the prophets, there is the prophetic deposit we are trying to stir in your spirit. And very soon, visibility, prophecy, vision, prophetic warning, and all those things will be part of our community. So I need to show you five ways of judging a prophetic word. But that's not for tonight. There are five ways. And there is this rise of false prophetic ministry that is trying to choke actual Christianity on the continent. All right? So I need to show you how to know if a ministry, a so-called prophetic ministry, is an accurate ministry or not. There, you can't escape it. We'll look at five basic analyses, and if you walk through those five things, you'll be able to tell if someone you thought was a prophet is a false prophet. All right, so the first thing we need to see here is that the ultimate warner is God, and God is a warning spirit. God has a warning ministry. And the basis of God's warning ministry is that he sees the end from the beginning. He sees chaos before he finds expression. He sees doom before it comes. He sees danger before it is established. Part of the first things that God does in your life as he begins to make you a functional watchman. Most of you noticed I was not in service yesterday. I need to explain my not being in service to you. Are you here? All right, sir. I need to explain. So, I was not in service. And then by 6 o'clock, which is when I normally preach, 6 o'clock, 6:30, those were the times where Satan planned to kill two people, my people. Because by 4 o'clock, I knew danger was coming. But you know the way that sense is, it's not a cerebral sense, so you cannot pinpoint where the danger is coming from. Oh, okay. Don't worry, you guys don't. You see, there are spiritual signs that God gives that is not cerebral. It's purely of the heart. So you cannot point a finger and say, okay, it's this sister, that brother that is implicated. But as a priest, I know the sign. So even if it's church time, I will not come. Because before church finishes, and the devil knows my church time, you know, before church ends, there'll be two corpses on the ground. One of them had died. And I went into my room and said, Lord, how many people will we bury this year? He said, okay, this one will live a year again. Huh? So I went back and said, there's life. And then well, subsequently life came back. And then the second one again was one of the people we ordained here. And he was cruising in his vehicle, and his vehicle began to somersault. Listening to my message and cruising. The demon that collided with the car collided so intensely, and it began to somersault. By the time we got, the guy was gotten out of the car, there was no scratch, but the car was squeezed like a cattle. That happened 6 o'clock and 6:30. Then my peace came back. So if then I was released to come back to church, but I felt there was no need to come back at that time. Then this morning again, my peace left. I began to press again. And I pressed until 2:12. Then the wife of one of our pastors now said her husband was involved in an accident. I said, he can't die. They said they have not told her whether she is dead. I said, can't die. She now called back how many minutes later? Say, okay, the two other people in the vehicle are unconscious, but it's only her husband that is conscious. That one happened before I came here today. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Now, do you know that these things we are teaching, they are real? Do you know that the reason why many people die is because they don't have a priest, they don't have a spiritually intelligent person that is siding them. Most deaths you see, God didn't sanction it. It's a thief that came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The Lord will strengthen you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, listen as I try to round up. Tomorrow we'll continue much deeper on the warning ministry of the watchman. Being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an act to the saving of his house. That act of constructing the ark for saving his house condemned his generation. The reason was because he was the only one in his generation that believed that God was coming to destroy the generation, even though he himself warned the generation. Hey, destruction is coming. That's why I'm building this ark. You must find a place in it. So the generation was warned. And in building that ark and taking refuge in that ark, his life of rectitude and alignment with God became the object of condemnation for his generation. Do you know that your life of rectitude, that's your life that you are living, you refuse to compromise. Many of your family members will seize the opportunity to mock you anytime they see you, will become the reason for which God will condemn that family. Oh, when God wants to step into a generation, he needs to see at least a man upon whose life he can stand, so that they can make a platform to begin to draw the line from whence his judgment will begin. May your life give God an opportunity to bring to pass that which he has desired. May your commitment to rectitude, to holiness, may your commitment to righteousness be so brilliant that God will be able to make the demarcation and to establish from whence his justice and his judgment and equity will begin. May your life provide what God has been longing in order for him to fulfill his heart desire. In constructing this ark, the Bible says that he condemned the world. That's not all. And he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. When we do faith adventure, we will look at this scripture. These are deep scriptures. He became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So our God is a warning God. I want to end by letting you in on a prophecy. Those days when we were on campus, we were the watchmen of the campus. We used to pray. Every single night, we had a time of prayer. And you know something about prayer? We cannot be praying consistently every day, and God will not move. Just keep it going. You'll be amazed. You'll realize that heaven was actually depending, expecting that one of us will rise and refuse to give up. All hell will break loose to see that you are discouraged from pressing on, from keeping faith with God, from standing in the gap to give God an occasion and to connect the circuit that is going to release the current of the fragrance of the grace of God for God to begin to intervene. Demons will fight you. They will play with your emotions. They will play with the emotions of people that are close to you, your wife, your husband, to put you in a bad book with God. You need to be strong to be a man of faith. We used to pray. And while we prayed, and we called upon the name of the Lord, I remember one of those times, one of the sisters in our midst, she has the gift of prophecy. She began to prophesy. There's a certain anointing threshold in those fellowships that we held those days. Once that threshold is met, it is very likely that the two sisters that have the gift of prophecy, either two of them will prophesy or one will prophesy. But there was one that was so gifted in the gift of prophecy that she could speak about things not seen as yet. It's from the economy of those things that were not yet seen that she prophesied to me. And she said to me that the grace that God has put upon me is an international mantle. I didn't know what that was then anyway. And I knew the words were not hers. The intelligence that was needed for her to speak those words, it didn't come from her. However, even though you have an international mantle, there is a lady that will be sent to you from the kingdom of darkness. If you survive this lady, that is when the mantle will be in view. So imagine how equipped I was after she spied with the gift of prophecy. She operated like a watchman. And you know, when something is orchestrated from the realm of the spirit, your bold face and your physical alertness is not sufficient preparation to forestall. I know some of you have, you say, yeah, I'm a disciplined man. I was raised in your natural discipline. Something that is so terrific that God is announcing it. Your current defense as currently constituted doesn't have the capacity to by any means forestall that which God is warning you about. Guess what I did? I knew it was supernatural, so I took a fast and I began to long fast. In final year, the lady came. It was later I realized that most of the anointed young men, and I need to tell you the truth, when I was on campus, I was not the best in terms of the anointing. They were guys with crude oil. You don't understand what I'm talking about. I was not the best. I was just the teacher. I was the teacher of the generation. If it's the Bible, you have to consult me. I had a gift in that area. It was a strong one, a strong gift. But there were strange men. Strange men. There was this guy from Koronshisha. Nobody could pray like him. I saw him doing prayer exercise. Okay, like he'll be praying now. Then he can sit down. He can sit down now and stand up. Prayer exercise. He'll be doing it. He was a strange fellow. So when the devil saw the harvest that will come out of those spiritual exercises taking place on the campus, he sent that lady. Those days when you come to the prayer room, you will see like 200 people. The number started dropping, until a day came when I was the only one in the prayer room. Oh, I didn't know what happened. And I'm not saying this to suggest that I was good. Okay? The true story of what happened is that that lady, he finished all these people. He drained out their spiritual life. I was the only one left. I was in final year. I was about to leave. Do you know that the lady's intention to get me to compromise, he exceeded school. She followed me for 5 years. Oh, you won't believe this. Five years. But you know what kept me? I was warm. When we went to Abuja, they gave us a job, so I was staying in Abuja. I was working in Abuja. So I wasn't coming to Makurdi anymore. One day, the security people came and said, somebody is looking for you. They called the name. I didn't even remember. Who has that name? I saw that lady again. He treats my office in Abuja. You know what? I was warned. When all the Abuja on didn't work, I got posted back to the depot here. And I went for a crusade. Muma Akpai came to IBB Square. Out of the thousands of people that came for that crusade, that you can even lose your child in the crusade and not recover your child again. Maybe you find your child at the police station. This lady came out of the, just came out like this. It was me. She came. You know why I survived it? I was warned. There are several things you will never survive except you are warned. After that crusade night, and the lady saw that instead of my faith reducing from campus, it kept increasing. Then she now preached to me 5 years later. I said, since you have refused to leave Jesus, don't leave him again. Then she left me. Do you know, I don't know where that lady is, but I've not seen her till now. The day she preached to me and left, even in a wedding, even in a burial, I was warned. When God wants to preserve something, what he does is that he sends what? Warning. And if you are wise, you will keep to it. Oh, you may not know, only a little thing can destroy you. You know what they call destroy? I've seen intelligent people destroyed. We were two guys. We always got rooms on campus. We stayed together for almost all of our school years. Only for me to be called. We were building this building. I was called from somewhere in Ubokolo. And one of those, my roommates, they poisoned him. He died. Think of what would have happened if he was warned. I've seen the best die cheaply. Oh, Oh, I remember one lady that used to, those days, her beauty, she became an idol. How they destroyed her. And the day of her destruction, her beauty could not defend her. So one of the avenues of preservation that God makes available is that he's a warning God. And I need to show you the gravity of the ministry of warning that comes from God, which is one of the assignments of watchmen. When you study your Bible, do you take note of the warning? You take note? Or you don't? You just read past. He's talking to you. Have you read the book of Ecclesiastes? Bring my Bible. Let me check for that scripture. Let me read one of the warnings to you. I think it is Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 26. Quickly. Put it on the screen. He said, and I find more bitter than death. What? I know you won't pronounce it properly. Let's try again. All the sisters, don't read it. This scripture is particular for brothers. So brothers, let's go. And I what? Find more bitter than death. What? Those days there was this brother. I don't know what anointing God gave this brother. He had the grace to raise the dead, and he knew. Once he comes where there's a corpse, he will ask God if God is responsible for the death or the death. And when God says, I'm not responsible, he will raise that person from the dead. He raised like 3 dead people in public places. Oh, he was a stepson to a great man. And because of the second wife that was married in after his own mom died, they had to send him from home. So he grew in the wild. And the only thing he knew how to do was prayer. His knuckles, his knees were black from prayer. Witches had come together with a plan to kill him. And they charmed the dog. They charmed the put witchcraft power inside of a dog and sent it. That dog had the ability to pass through doors and walls. And it would devour anything that was within his sight. That was the dog that they sent. Do you know how many days it took to make the charm that could live and thrive with the heart of the dog? The next day when the witches came to check for the young man, he was burying the dog. When he was asked, what happened? How did you survive this? He said the moment he saw the dog had trespassed his wall, all he shouted was, Jesus! And a great human being like light appeared and began to walk. And as he walked close to where the dog dried. A human being like light began to walk. And he saw the human being physically. Then the only job left for him to do was to go and bury the dog in the and the witches, namely his mother-in-law, came and saw him conducting that burial. The young man I'm talking about, I'm withholding the name because that was the man that was supposed to be the next Idahosa in Nigeria. The mystery of God around this vessel was strange. But you know what? It was a woman. Never. So even before he became 32, the witches buried him. And all the witches came for his burial to acknowledge that they have never seen such power. Such power. Witches traveled to come honor his burial, to say that the power he had, it's been long since God was able to find a man to hide it. Let us pray. Let us pray. Let us pray. The prayer is simple. I will heed your warning. As you draw my ears, as you ask me to incline, I will obey you. I will obey you. I will obey you. I will obey you. Can you make a commitment to God that your heart will not be rebellious? Your heart will not be stubborn. You will be compliant. You'll be pliable in the hands of the Holy Spirit. You will give attention to the issues that God causes you to hear. So many mighty among us have been destroyed, but I will not add to the list. I will not add to the list of rebels that became victims of the snare of the devil. I will not add to the list. Witches traveled from far and wide to witness his burial. Mara soselaika pantemila. Rukes kabalantoria baramandel. All the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. For the way of the Lord.
For the way of the Lord.
Amo sesi la brisco palama saliai. Rukas kesi somo kobre hevilia takombe la bukatama. I will hear. I will incline my ear. I will hear your warning. I will hear your voice.
I choose the way.